And you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
A new funding opportunity is available for Aboriginal youth in BC who wish to pursue a career in the arts through the Creative Youth Initiatives program, which is being funded by the BC government. The first people on Tuesday, March 25th at the Cobalt, CITR and Timber Concerts present Perfect Pussy. Perfect Pussy will be joined by special guests Vision. Advance tickets are available at Zulu Records and Red Cat Records or online at ticketweb.ca. For more information, go to timberconcerts.com. A new funding opportunity is available for Aboriginal youth in BC who wish to pursue a career in the arts through the Creative Youth Initiatives program, which is being funded by the BC government. The First Peoples Cultural Council will implement the pilot program called Aboriginal Youth Engaged in the Arts through a partnership with the BC Arts Council, which will provide $200,000 to the FPCC for the new program. Grants of up to $15,000 will support projects in any artistic discipline: visual, music, performing, dance, media, and literary. These projects will engage the youth in the arts through interactions with artists visiting through short-term residencies in remote and reserve communities. They will engage youth in arts through workshop series with local artists working in any discipline. During youth workshops or collaborations, visiting artists will work with local artists to build their capacity to engage with the youth through the arts. The application deadline is March 17, 2014. For more information about their program and how to apply, go to fpcc.ca and check out their youth engagement in the arts.
Sprouts, you've ate here before. Community Eats is back for the summer.
We are your local food co-op.
We are your volunteer opportunity.
We are your meeting place.
We are your nutritious Friday lunch.
We are sustainability.
We are community.
Eats every Friday.
Come by with a reusable container, donate, and tell us what community means to you. Friday, 11:30 to 3 p.m. Food, fun, friends.
Hey, you're listening to Language on CITR 90.1 FM. Oh, 101.9. I'm getting my stations mixed up. I'm Gennardio O'Sullivan. I'll be your host today, co-hosting with Peter Rodriguez on CITR. Smoke Mix from Sino General.
Oh, Genzaina, fish dance, a Seneca social dance. Guess. Grab your partner.
You've been listening to Sino General. We started you off with the first song on his album. The album is called A Warrior's Journey, and the first song that you heard from the album was Smoke Dance, and now The Fish Dance, and Love Her Style. Oopsie. We've got Peter in the house with me. He'll be co-hosting for the day. How are you doing today, Peter Rodriguez?
Hi, Gunnarji. I'm pretty... good.
You're pretty?
I'm pretty good.
You're pretty and you're good. Right on.
Thank you.
I'm pretty and I'm good too. It's 2:14 CITR time. We're waiting for Dallas Yellowfly to call in. He's been joining me on a number of programs from One Spirit Whispers to Snow Wales and Late Night with Savages. Last night was Brittany Ross, Patricia Burns, Your Wagon. And also Rachel George from the Tsleil-Waututh Nation. It was a pleasure to talk to him at such a late time in the evening. He's got some funny things to say, this fellow. He's a comedian and he's an oral storyteller. He's involved in the Teaching and Learning for Truth and Justice and Reconciliation Project, which invite you, the public, to the Educational Symposium on Friday 21st, that's tomorrow, featuring a multimedia performance by Dallas Yellow Sky entitled Qualina, the Wild Woman Who Steals Children. The event takes place at Kwantlen Polytechnic University in Richmond, British Columbia. The retelling of a Coast Salish story which focuses on child apprehension and how it relates to residential school system from the perspective of survivors and the descendants. The event includes lunch and a student poster presentation, interactive discussion with survivors, elders and healers, as well as scholars. There will be a round dance and traditional songs and invocations. I've also been invited along for the ride, as I've been the national coordinator for a project called Resonating Reconciliation, which has involved up to 40 stations who have been engaged in the project and who have opened their doors of communications to First Nations people across the country, inviting 40 First Nations producers to produce their own radio documentaries on their own community of residential school, intergenerational and first generational survivors.
As you said, today we will have Dallas Yellowfly with us. And because of that, because he's a storyteller, I also bring a short story. It's actually a tale from an Ecuadorian book that the name is 20 Leyendas Ecuatorianas y un Fantasma, which means 20 Ecuadorian Legends and One Ghost, from the writer Mario Conde. This book was published in 2012, so it's not brand new, but it's new. And I will tell you a history about this specific book. I'm also bringing two Ecuadorian songs that I want to introduce you later. But the main idea is to start sharing with you some music that we have in Latin America, and which is a nice mix of different rhythms. So it's what a lot of people call like fusion. But today we will have one specific Ecuadorian singer. His name is Alex Alvear. And after that, we will have the band, one of the biggest and iconical bands in Ecuador, that the name is Promesas Temporales. And just to tell you a little bit about this band, it was formed in the 80s, and it was the first Ecuadorian band who started fusion rock, Latin rhythms, and also Ecuadorian music, traditional Ecuadorian music. And this guy, Alex Alvear, was part of that band. So we have the music from the band, and also we have the music from Alex Alvear. That's what we have for today, till we will be waiting for Dallas Yellowfly.
Robin dance.
Oh, hey. Walk some fire.
maybe you could translate the introduction. Right. You've been listening to CITR, Language to Language, Chief Rock, A Warrior's Journey. And you've heard every song from Smoke Dance, Fish Dance, Living and Loving Her Style, and all kinds of songs. You know, right up to the 12th song, the last song that you just heard, is that we are Haudenosaunee, and I am Gennorgi. We also have Peter in the house. Peter Rodriguez, how are you today?
Fine. Excellent. For this interview or this chatting with Dallas Yellowfly.
Yeah, Dallas Yellowfly has been joining me all week from When Spirit Whispers to Late Night with Savages, and now he's here on Language to Language on CITR. The Teaching and Learning for Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Project invites you, the public, to an educational symposium on Friday, March 21st, featuring a multimedia performance by Dallas Yellowfly entitled Qualina, the Wild Woman Who Steals Children. The event takes place at Kwantlen Polytechnic University in Richmond, BC, and it involves the retelling of traditional Coast Salish stories, focusing on the residential school system from the perspectives of survivors and descendants. The event will include lunch and a student poster presentation, interactive discussions with survivors and elders, healers, and scholars around dance and traditional songs and invocations.
Bueno, como escuchamos, vamos a tener la entrevista con Dallas Yellowfly, quien es un educador aborigen que va a estar presentando su obra Kelona, la mujer salvaje que robaba a los niños. Es una obra teatral de la vida real, aparentemente, y va a usar una máscara y algunos efectos multimedia para compartir una visión contemporánea tradicional de las Primeras Naciones o de las tribus aborígenes de la costa oeste. Una historia, como decía, una historia real. Esta presentación tendrá un lado educativo muy profundo.
Ah, yes. Now we have Dallas Yellowfly on the phone with us. Hello, Dallas.
Holy cow, am I on the radio?
You are on the radio, CITR radio to be exact, 101.9 FM. How
can
does
I
it feel?
Can I request some AC/DC?
Oh, yeah, baby. We'll play it for you. Right, we'll probably play it at the end of the show. It makes sense to me. They're people too.
Hello, how are you? I'm good.
I'm good. I'm very happy to have you on the air with us, and I'm so excited to see your performance tomorrow at the Kwantlen Polytechnic University.
Yes, I'm extremely thrilled. Tomorrow's going to be a great day.
It is. Now, have you ever performed in Richmond before?
No.
No? So this is a brand new audience for you. Where have you taken Qualina up until now, Dallas?
Qualina has performed in Abbotsford, in Surrey, in Vancouver, and Mission.
Oh, Mission City.
But not Richmond.
Not in
the
Richmond.
First time.
Have you ever performed or presented Qualina, the Wild Woman of the Woods Who Steals Children, at an actual residential school?
Oh wow, that would be a very humbling experience. No, however, I also filmed and produced a documentary about a residential school survivor, and that I did present at St. Mary's in Mission, and that was probably one of the best presentations I've ever been a part of. Lots of very good energy from it.
And we also have Peter Rodriguez in the house. He's from Ecuador, and he would like to share some of the commonalities between the story of Qualina, the wild woman of the woods who steals children, and a legend from Ecuador.
Mm. Okay. Hi, Dallas.
Hello.
How
hola.
Are you? Hola, hola. Yeah, we were talking yesterday with Gennorgi to prepare a little bit the show, and I was searching yesterday night for a history similar of this, you know, down there in Latin America. But we have a lot of histories, not similar, but it probably has the same iconical images. What I'm trying to say is we all the time talk down there in Latin America how the Spanish is still our goal. And I was saying to Gunarji, that's probably just another way to say how they steal everything from us. You know? I will read like a 3 minutes history in a couple of minutes, in a couple of moments about that. I will translate a little bit how that means, but I will read the entire story in Spanish.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, this is, as I said, it's a story about that comes from a book called 20 Leyendas Ecuatorianas y un Fantasma de Mario Conde. La historia se llama Come Oro. En tiempos de la conquista española, un soldado andaluz se apoderó del oro de un viejo cacique de Gualaceo, cantón de la Serranía, al sur de Ecuador. Con muchas historias de la época, el conquistador se valió de un engaño para hacerse del oro. Sin embargo, lo fabuloso del hecho es que no lo consiguió por la astucia, sino por la torpeza del truco. El conquistador iba montado en su caballo cuando se encontró con un joven indígena llamado Pautis, hijo del cacique. Con temor y curiosidad, el joven se acercó al poderoso animal. El español aprovechó el momento para engañar al muchacho. «Dame oro para el caballo», le dijo el conquistador. «Mira cómo muerde el freno de plata, apúrate». «Maravilla», contestó Pautis. Y corrió a su casa. El español hincó las espuelas del caballo y siguió al muchacho sorprendido. En la casa, Pautis le contó a su padre que un hombre barbudo, vestido de reluciente metal y con plumas de colores en la cabeza, le había pedido oro para dar de comer a un animal sobre el que iba montado. «No seas ingenuo», dijo el viejo cacique de mirada inteligente. «El extraño te pidió oro para él. ¿Qué desea? Las riquezas. Los animales no comen oro, sino hojas de maíz y otras plantas. Pero he visto que mordía un metal blanco como la plata. Debe tener los dientes duros», explicó el cacique. «Por eso le pone un freno duro para que obedezca al que monta, igual que los yamingos cuando hay que guiarlos por la montaña». Sin convencer de todo la explicación de su padre, el muchacho señaló con la mano hacia afuera. Allí estaba el extraño barbudo que había desmontado el animal y aguardaba en el patio. El cacique miró al jinete a través de la puerta y sin decir palabra salió de la casa y se dirigió a la chacra. Regresó al rato con algunas plantas de maíz. Con cautela se acercó al caballo. «Extraño, tú has pedido comida para tu animal», dijo el cacique. «Quiero ver qué le gusta más». A continuación, le mostró a la bestia un tallo de maíz y un brazalete de oro sacado de su muñeca. Naturalmente, el animal alargó el hocico hacia el maíz y se puso a morder las hojas a pesar del freno. El brazalete de oro recibió un contundente caballuno de desaire. «Ya ves, hijo, el oro no es apetecido por los animales, sino por los hombres». Las barbas del conquistador no permitieron ver la coloración de su rostro. «Extraño, toma el oro y llévatelo», dispuso el viejo cacique sin apartar la vista del joven Pautis. «Gracias, viejo astuto». Cuando partió el español, se llevó objetos de oro para él y tallos de maíz para el caballo. That's the end of the history, and basically, it's... like many other histories where Spanish conquer were trying to steal the native Americans' gold. This Spanish conqueror asked to the Pautis, a boy chief's son, for some gold to feed the horse. That's how he was trying to cheat the guy, right? So, but the boy tell to his father, and he says, "The horses don't eat gold. He's trying to cheat you. So we will try to offer to the horses this gold bracelet and some fresh corn, and you will see what the horse prefer." Obviously, the horse prefer the corn. So the chief says to the Spanish conqueror, "Take the gold and take the corn, but we are not stupid, you know. So we know that you was trying to get is our gold." So basically, that's the whole story.
Interesting. Does it sound like a similar story to you, Dallas?
What's his name again?
Peter.
Peter Rodriguez.
Peter, you, I have to say, have one of those voices that makes me want to just sit and listen to you all day.
Thank you for that.
Yes. I could listen to you talk all day.
He's a good storyteller.
Well, and something about your tone. I don't know. Some people got it, some people don't. So you should be a storyteller, Peter.
Okay. We will have to talk later.
Yes.
I'll be listening.
probably after your show.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that there's a story in every culture about someone who's stealing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's easier to listen to a story than be told it. And especially if Peter tells it to you, because it's an amazing voice you have there.
How did you develop the story of Qualina, the wild woman who steals children?
Over time, and it started with some inspiration from the traditional Salish story of the wild woman. And there's many names for that character. And what I found was when I asked questions from the people who told me the story, there wasn't many answers that I was looking for. You kind of, like, there was no explanation where the creature came from or how she became the way she is. So what I did is I decided to write a different version where I explain those things. And instead of making her a monster, I make her a real person with feelings and goes through some torment. And I think that's something, a journey that we can all relate to.
Well, what is Qualina's torment?
Well, what I did is, as any storyteller will do, is take the liberty, the artistic liberty, to come up with a reason. And I decided to give her a deformity, a crooked hand, and something she couldn't change about herself. And that pushed her away from her family and friends, and she got teased and bullied and laughed at, which are hot topics in a classroom to discuss with the kids afterwards. And Qualina is a girl who basically runs away. And the only reason she steals children in the story is because those children go out and try to, just for fun, tease and laugh at her even more. So as time goes on, she develops ways to hide herself from the kids, and one of the ways is to make the sound of the wind with her lips so the kids can't hear where she is. So she hides her movements with the wind, which is a creepy aspect when you hear it in the performance, because I actually use sounds during the performance, so you feel like you're sort of part of this story, interactive in a way.
It's a multimedia piece, your performance. Can you tell us more about that aspect of the work?
Yeah, that's one of the funnest parts of it is I've created a film sequence, which is part of the storytelling. And so the audience, besides just listening to my voice narrating, also gets to watch a little bit towards the end of the story. And it's a scary scene where this masked creature woman comes towards you and actually leaves the camera view and jumps off to the left. And then what I've done ahead of time with an actor wearing a cloak and the same mask, the actor is actually waiting in the theater to pop out and surprise the audience and sort of come to life right in front of them. And so the multimedia aspect is the video and the sound. And of course, the mask that comes out and pops out at you and scares you.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to give Peter Rodriguez a moment to translate what you've said in his Ecuador or in Spanish.
Spanish.
Okay.
Bueno, como han escuchado, estamos conversando con Dallas Yellowfly, quien está presentando la obra Qualina, la mujer salvaje que robaba a los niños. Y esta es una historia bastante basada en la vida real, sobre todo con los representantes de agentes indígenas que robaban a los niños aborígenes y forzaban a sus familias para llevarlos a escuelas y residencias escolares, ¿verdad? Convirtiéndose este en uno de los lados más oscuros de la historia canadiense realmente. Entonces, Dallas nos está contando en qué consiste su obra, cómo está creado el personaje de Qualina, que realmente es una mujer que representa a este poder que robaba a los niños realmente. La obra ha sido presentada ya en varias salas y tiene un aspecto multimedia que la hace también bastante diferente. Existe un ícono central que es una máscara a la que se usa el personaje principal interpretando a Kelowna, pero todo esto está acompañado de unas secuencias de imágenes y filmes que permiten, sumado con el sonido, darle todo este ambiente multimedia a la obra para, obviamente, difundir el mensaje de esta historia, que es importante conocerla para que no se repita, ojalá.
Yes, we've been talking to Dallas Yellowfly, who will be participating in the Teaching and Learning for Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Project. They invite you to the Public Education Symposium tomorrow, Friday, March 21st, featuring a multimedia performance by Dallas Yellowfly entitled Qualina, the Wild Woman of the Woods Who Steals Children. The event takes place at Kwantlen Polytechnic University in Richmond. I'm not sure of the address, Dallas.
It is... Ooh, you put me on a spot.
Again. There's a few eights in there. Lansdowne Road.
Just off Garden City.
Uh-huh. It's right across from the Lansdowne Mall, right? It's
also right across from the SkyTrain station there.
Did you mention the time?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. is when you perform?
Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
And the event actually goes on until 4. As I mentioned earlier, there will be elders present, healers and other survivors, and scholars. Dallas, are you a residential school survivor or an intergenerational survivor?
I am an intergenerational survivor, and that's probably the piece I fit in at the end of this. My father went to residential schools, and it definitely impacted him in a negative way, mm-hmm. more so than a positive. Now, that's not to say that all people had a negative impact on them, but my dad did. And as an intergenerational survivor, what that means is I've been raised by a parent that went to a residential school and wasn't a very good parent, which means he is no longer a part of my life, and there's reasons for that which I explain at the presentation.
Wow, that's an amazing story, and it's very courageous of you to share this story about your father and your relationship to him. Many people, even though they've been given a chance in this last 5 years to talk about the dynamics within the family, very rarely do, simply out of loyalty to their loved ones. So it's not an easy place to go. But do you think that there are some healing aspects to this work for you as an intergenerational survivor?
Yeah.
Yeah?
This is the way I think I would like to have been taught when I was a kid in the education world.
So did your father fail to, like, share traditional knowledge with you as a result of residential schools?
He failed just about everything as a parent, and my mother, in fact, forced him to leave our family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have been a healthy child with a father like him. There was a lot of variables in his life that I understand now that were directly influenced.
Do you think that you'll be able to rebuild your relationship with him, Dallas, as a result of the work that you've done on yourself and in creating this awareness in the community?
I don't know if that's my goal. But I've been told that's probably what I should try to do, is to try to make amends, but maybe they're too far gone.
Well, in a way, that's kind of what the idea of reconciliation is to reconcile first with yourself and then your family and your community and then the rest of the community. But, I mean, that's a big call on our people. Mm-hmm. And to forgive and to forget, maybe not so easy, especially when you've lived that life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm both a survivor and an intergenerational survivor. My mother went to the same residential school that I went to. She went for the full 9 yards. I only went for a couple of years. And would you like to translate for us again?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Bueno, lo que estamos conversando con Dallas y respecto a su obra es que justamente él no solo la está contando, él realmente la vivió. pues su padre fue estuvo en un residential school, en una escuela residencia en los finales de los años 40, y justamente el abuso sexual y emocional que sucede en estas escuelas hizo que su padre caiga en el alcoholismo y luego cometa homicidio, ¿no? Y otros tipos de circunstancias que lo llevaron a esto, ¿no? Por lo tanto, Yellowfly lo que está haciendo es tratando de explicar y contar la historia para que quede bastante claro cómo funcionan estas escuelas residencias, y sobre todo lo que Gunnarji también le está diciendo es que esto es una forma de ir limpiando su alma e ir sanándose, ¿no? Contando la historia y que otros la conozcan, porque es parte de lo que tiene que suceder, que para ir sanando el alma de las personas afectadas, pues tienen que ir primero perdonando y luego compartiendo con la comunidad. Es la única forma de la que se puede hacer.
Wow, Dallas, I never thought we were going to go here together today. I mean, the things that you shared with us and the listeners, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking. You know, there's so much work to do and so we need to make amends. And yet, you know, taking those steps may not be the easiest steps that we may ever take in our lives. You know, your dad's still alive. My mother, she passed away when I was 6 years old. And I always felt like maybe she fought to keep me, and I don't think she did, because she didn't feel the self-worth that she needed to feel. She didn't feel confident as a parent. And it's heartbreaking to think about. You know, I think the work that you're doing is really valuable in your own healing journey, and if your dad ever gets a chance to see your work, it will be valuable in his healing journey as well. When the residential school agreement came out, it motivated me to make a short film. And when I started the film, I had really no idea what I was going to do, but I knew that I would be addressing the residential school agreement. And in fact, in the end, what I ended up doing in this short film was creating a trickster character who became my mother. And in this little short film, I actually made her apologize to me through this character. And I think it was one of the biggest steps in my healing journey, and the beginning of it, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. You can do wondrous things with art, and especially in, you know, as a performing artist, you know, because a lot of what you're doing is coming from your ancestors to begin with. You're channeling some of the messages from the ancestors. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. And I think the reason I keep doing it is because at the end of every performance, somebody comes up and says to me, I didn't know. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So they should know.
Yeah. How many people, different nationalities, do you think have heard your story right off the top of your head?
As many as there are in the greater Vancouver area, I guarantee.
Yes.
And, you know, there's also other nationalities, kids especially, they've heard other stories that are from their nation, and they'll come and tell me about the parallels between their scary woman and this Qualina, or even the wild woman story here on the West Coast.
Yeah. Zuniqua.
I just want to tell you something, Dallas. Today, some Ecuadorian friends are listening to you, so they know already about this history also. So you just crossed the borders through the radio.
Yeah, on the World Wide Web. We definitely have to do something. Maybe we could create a radio play about Qualina in the near future so we can share it with listeners across, you know, Canada and Turtle Island.
That would be very cool.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We've been sharing your presentation from CJSF with Seema Ahuliya, who is the coordinator of the Teaching and the Learning for Truth and Reconciliation project. And it's a symposium that we are inviting the listeners to we would really encourage you from all cultures. You know, we want to reach out to you. We want to touch you with our stories and create this awareness so that you can better understand where First Nations people are coming from. Not so that you can feel sorry for us, but so that you can understand us a little bit better. And it's stories like this that can create that understanding so that we can all move forward with respect for each other in a good way.
So true.
Yeah, that's definitely, and I will translate what Gunnarji was telling. La idea ahora es que justamente con arte podamos contar estas historias y transmitirlas, no por el simple hecho de contarlas o transmitirlas, como ya dijimos hace un rato, por limpiar nuestras almas y limpiar todo el rencor que podría existir, pero también para que esto no se repita. Y eso es lo que estamos tratando. Yo lo he mencionado desde que me invitó Gunnarji la semana pasada a este programa. Trato de comunicar un poco lo que sucede en Latinoamérica desde otra perspectiva. Obviamente no es la misma historia, pero quizás sí muy similar. Entonces trataremos de hacerlo lo más cercano que se pueda.
Yeah, for sure. And Dallas, where can our listeners get a hold of you if they would like to bring you to their community to share your story of Qualina, the wild woman of the woods who steals children?
At threecrowsproductions.com.
Pueden ver la historia en trescrucesproducciones.com, pero supongo que lo tienen que tipear en inglés, threecrossproductions.com.
And we've been talking with Dallas Yellowfly, the Teaching and Learning for Truth and Justice and Reconciliation Project. He will be performing at a symposium on Friday, March 21st, featuring a multimedia performance by Dallas Yellowfly entitled Qualina, the Wild Woman Who Steals Children. The event takes place at Kwantlen Polytechnic University in Richmond, B.C. This retelling of traditional Coast Salish story focuses on the residential school system from the perspectives of survivors and their descendants. I'll be there. I'll be looking out for Dallas Yellowfly tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The event goes until 4 o'clock, and I totally appreciated taking you on this radio tour, Dallas Yellowfly, and I can't wait to have you as a special guest in the very near future. In the meantime, I'm going to leave the listeners with a laugh on your behalf as you performed at Laughlines Comedy Club. Here is Dallas Yellowfly. Is there anything you'd like to say as we set it up, Dallas?
Muchas gracias.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gracias, Dallas.
Do you want to quickly translate what I said?
Bueno, ahora vamos a escuchar una presentación de Dallas en vivo que tuvo en el Laughlines Comedy. Esto está en YouTube, lo pueden ver.
Gather around. I'm going to tell you a great story about one bear, one eagle, and many salmon at the casino.
Those stereotypes are so funny. That story's actually a code. All native stories are code. I'm half native, so I know how to decipher the code. Anytime you hear bear, that means table game. Eagle, slot machines upstairs.
Many salmon, more of the white man's money. There's a story here on the West Coast, very famous native story called How the Raven Stole the Sun. It's about a raven, code for marginalized minority, was living happily on the land with all the other animals, powwows every day. And then one day, a chief, code for fair-skinned, religion and disease-spreading, egotistical dick who actually got his weapons and technologies from shorter brown people living to his east. came to build his house on Raven's land. Where have we heard this before? Then the chief builds his house, and he steals the sun from the sky, and he puts it in a box, and he keeps the box in his lodge, kind of screwing over all the natives that were living on the land before he got there. Sounds like a local story. In the end, the raven sneaks into the house, steals the sun, and throws it back up in the sky. Now, the kicker is, while the raven's in the chief's house, he impregnates the chief's daughter. So the moral of the story is simple. When you build your shit on natives' land, eventually you will get fucked. That's just educational. Now, enough about this native shit. Let's talk more about my hair. So, last Thursday, this guy comes up to me walking up from behind. He says, "Nice hair, you girl." I said, "Thanks, nitwit." But that got me thinking. He thought I was a girl from behind. I wonder how many other guys have thought that I'm a girl from behind, thinking disgusting thoughts about me.
All right, so we've had a wonderful day here. Peter, thank you for joining me again.
No,
Peter,
it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Yes, it's mine too. A wonderful exchange that we do here every Thursday between 3 o'clock and 4 Pacific time, www.citr.ca. Peter, give us an overview of the show.
Bueno, lo que tuvimos el día de hoy fue la entrevista con Dallas Yellowfly. Estuvimos conversando de su presentación que va a tener mañana a las 10 de la mañana. Igual, lo que estábamos escuchando ahora último era una presentación en YouTube. Si lo buscan como Dallas Yellowfly, pueden ver sus actuaciones en vivo. Y vamos a cerrar el show con una canción de Alex Alvear, como lo prometimos al inicio del programa, de su disco ecuatorial, que se llama Esta Historia No Es de Risa. Just to let you know, Gunarji, this is a love song. But okay. You know, it's a love song between two strangers.
Uh-huh.
So they are just meeting, so he starts asking her, what are you laughing off? Do you prefer to talk about it? Things like that.
I see.
So it's a very beautiful song, but as I said, it's also a mix of different rhythms. You will listen.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, I'm new to the board here. I'm trying to figure out where this is. Is this it?
No.
Nope. All right, so as I was saying, we're on the air every Thursday.
From between 2 to 3.
I'm not sure which. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm afraid I don't know where to find that music, but we will get it together in a moment.
Okay, so we are now ready with Alex Alvear's song, Esta Historia No Es De Risa. Tuvimos aquí un pequeño inconveniente, so there we go.
Mm-hmm. tú de dónde vienes? Dime ahora dónde vas. ¿Qué sonrisas te entretienen? ¿Qué caricias sabes dar? Boca me mira, me invita a jugar, prendes fuego aquí en mi vida y la llama se te va. Traigo yo mis propios vientos, me sostienen el andar, que me cruzo por delante. Y me vuelvo a tropezar, la 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 la. ¿Para qué viniste? Dime ahora si te vas. ¿Qué silencios te detienen? ¿Qué te hace olvidar? Olvidona. Que tu boca me mira, sabes si jugar, si esta historia no es de risa.
Thank you.